With Rose Scott, I'm Dennis O'Hare. We're continuing our special edition about the fallout and implications from the verdicts in the Atlanta Public Schools cheating case. In case you have missed it so far, 11 of the 12 remaining defendants in that cheating case were convicted yesterday on the most serious count of racketeering. Others also were convicted on lesser, or some were also convicted on lesser charges. Now, this all started, as we mentioned, back in late 2008. Some reporters at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution published a story about some suspiciously high test scores at five elementary schools, ironically just one of those at the time in Atlanta, but they followed the leads where they led, and one of those who did that was Heather Vogel. She is now a reporter at ProPublica, and she joins us. Heather, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
Did this start with a tip? I mean, everybody wonders, okay, where did that first little nugget come from?
No, it wasn't actually a tip. Our data analyst at the time, John Perry, and I had noticed that a lot more kids than we had expected had done very well on the retest. Now, the retest is basically a second chance that's given to some of the kids who fail the standardized test the first time around.
And that's not uncommon with the CRCT, the Criterion
Right.
Referenced Competency Test. So that in itself was not the problem, was it?
Right. So the kids get a second chance. And in this particular year, John and I had done stories on the retest in the past, and we knew that a lot of kids failed even on a second try. When we saw a lot of schools, you know, incorporating those retest scores into their own their status and going from failing to meet federal standards, this is the school-wide, to making federal standards just based on the retest scores, there were a lot more schools that made that change than we thought probably should have that year, based on what we knew about how these scores, you know, usually came out. And so that's what prompted us to start looking at the data. And we weren't looking at Atlanta, you know, to begin with. We really, you know, I sort of say Atlanta found us through the data. That was basically how it got going. And once we published a story that rose the, you know, sort of, you know, raised the idea of cheating, that's when people started calling me. And that's when I started to understand that there was something really different going on in Atlanta.
Heather, we just had Kevin Riley on who talked about parents reaching out to him. I spoke with Kathleen Mathers earlier today who talked about the role of the Georgia Office of Student Achievement as parents were also reaching out. She had conversations with parents. Did you also have conversations with parents after this reporting?
Yes. I was hearing from parents, too. I was hearing more from staff, I would say. But I did hear from a number of parents, including one, I remember, a woman who had adopted a limited English proficient student. You know, he really couldn't speak much English at all, and she spoke English fine, but she was stunned to see that he had like a near-perfect score on the test, which she knew is completely impossible, on the reading test. But a lot of the parents were sort of like staff. They were afraid, really, to speak up because they didn't want, you know, their children to suffer, obviously. The staff was afraid of their jobs.
What about the reaction from the business community and maybe even others from the political arena? Did you get pushback as well from them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I mean, it's not like I ever had anybody call me directly and say, "Stop looking at this." But there were definitely conversations that were going on, and some of them were with people above my pay grade at the paper. You know, that we're sort of saying, well, aren't you guys kind of out on a limb here? Aren't you taking this too far? You know, you don't have absolute proof any of this happened. You know, this is a very well-respected superintendent. Sort of how dare you raise these questions? You know, there was sort of a desire not to look too closely at a lot of this, I think. And, I don't know how much people knew at the time. I think people, especially in the very beginning, just really very strongly wanted not to believe that this was a very widespread problem. And there were a lot of people who had a stake in this sort of going away. You know, people in the business community who, you know, were trying to promote the city and its image, because this is, you know, obviously a huge black eye.
And just to clarify, those questions you were getting from your editors, your higher-ups, were they asking those on their own about, are you sure about this, or were they passing along concerns that they were hearing from other people.
No, they weren't passing. The only thing they passed along was just, you know, a simple, just, you know, make sure you're right. And, you know, it wasn't, that wasn't ever, you know, we never felt pressure internally that was anywhere outside the, you know, what you, the normal pressure you should feel when you're making an accusation. You of course, always want to make sure, you know, you're right, you're on solid ground. And I didn't feel like we were sort of run through the mill in any kind of way that was meant to discourage our reporting at all. I mean, the paper was incredibly supportive from the beginning in terms of publishing the findings that we got.
Was there ever a moment when you had to spike an interview or an angle that you believed in because you even had a sense that maybe it came from somebody who might not be telling you the truth, or it might be politically motivated, you know, internal APS politics, something like that?
I never spiked anything on the APS story. Was I think we were all in agreement, like at the paper, in terms of, you know, the editors of the paper and the reporters who were working on this, that we were doing our best to cover all the ground we needed to find out whether there were alternate explanations for some of the score spikes, to hear everybody out, to make sure that anybody that we accused, honestly, either people we accused by name or people we didn't even name, that all those people had noticed that we were going to write what we were going to write and had a fair chance to respond, which is just good journalism. There was never anything that we, wanted to publish and couldn't, that kind of thing. I mean, I had a lot of frustration in the beginning because I was getting tons of anonymous tips,
and just as a general practice, we got some of those too.
But that's just journalism, you know. Mm-hmm. That wasn't ever. I mean, like, you know, Kevin Riley was incredibly supportive the whole time.
Heather, as the verdicts were making headlines yesterday, your thoughts in all of this?
Well, it was kind of amazing to watch. It's always surprising to hear, you know, an educator and racketeering in the same sentence. And so I think the fact that the jury went for the conspiracy charge really, it just shows that the prosecution was able to lay out a case that this was very organized, that this was orchestrated, that this was not just something organic that happened. It was not just a few rogue teachers. It was actually something that, to some extent management-led.
And we'll need a real quick answer on this one, unfortunately, but sure. To follow up on that, as the state investigators released their report, and perhaps as you watched what was going on in the trial, were even you surprised by the alleged extent of this?
I think so. I mean, I kept hearing from people, you know, from all different schools that things were happening, but just to have the dozens and dozens of people who ended up being named in the state investigators report and then the trial and everything, it was really astounding to see it documented to the extent that it was.
Heather Vogel is now a reporter with ProPublica, but when she was working at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution back in 2008, she and other reporters uncovered what became the Atlanta Public Schools cheating scandal. Heather, thank you very much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.